and our own awakening. So, quite a bold title, but I'm feeling quite bold this morning. There's so much going on in the world out there, isn't there, that I thought we needed a very strong resource for us. So, as you're aware, the Sangha theme for this year is tools for practice, drawing on the five spiritual faculties. So you'll hear a lot about these this year, and maybe you know what they are already, but I'll just quickly outline them. So if you think of a point in the middle, which is mindfulness, and then a point above that, which could be energy, point below it, samadhi, a point to the right, could be wisdom, a point to the left, faith. So those are the five. And we're going to home in on faith this morning, which is always a good place to start. So you're probably aware that in Buddhism, this is not blind faith, but it's faith that is built upon reason and the tried and tested experience of the wisdom of the Buddhist teaching. The Sanskrit term is shraddha, shraddha, which literally means to place the heart upon. It's a lovely phrase that I feel my heart opens when I hear that phrase, to place the heart upon. And so there's the emotional element here as well as reason. So this emotional feeling element through the heart. And then thirdly, the third aspect of faith is there is an intuitional element in that we are kind of resonating with the teaching so that we're drawn to the Dharma because intuitively we feel its truth when we hear it. And it resonates with our deepest longings for freedom of heart. And this can be strengthened by placing the heart upon and trusting and having faith in something higher and beyond the ordinary, beyond the ordinary, towards the unconditioned transcendental, as represented by the deities and the Buddha himself. So these three components and all of this can lead to faith in the Buddha's awakening and enlightenment through seeing how effective the teachings and their wisdom are if we put them into practice. We find ourselves drawn intuitively because it all resonates and meets our deepest longing for also for the truth of reality beyond delusion and for the heart's freedom. But we must also find truth in our own eventual capacity for awakening. Otherwise, why are we bothering? And I was thinking it's a bit like, you know, you plan a big hike, maybe to the north of Scotland, and you put everything in place, you pack your luggage, you have a sack, and you got your boots, and you've planned the route and everything, and you start off and you start trudging along, but you don't really believe you're ever going to get there. And I also remember the time when I, towards ordination, I was looking at these four intentions, four kind of vows we take. And one of them is, for the sake of enlightenment, I take this ordination. And I had to stop short in my tracks because I thought, what? Me? Getting enlightened? Really? Oh! And then there was the dawning, oh, right, okay. So that's it, that's why I'm doing this. And I had to begin to take myself on really seriously, take myself seriously within my practice. So that was quite an awakening factor in itself, yeah. But what I found also is that in my journey towards having this possibility, spiritual receptivity is very important, as we certainly need to open up to new ideas and a new vision. Our hearts and minds need to open so we can let go of limited beliefs and self-referential feelings. And coming back to this idea of resonating and intuition brings us to faith in the seed or embryo of what's known as Buddha nature, which is actually innate in us already. We resonate because we all have this seed within us, but also know that it is obscured and remains stunted. Stunted unless we clear the veils, those veils that Bhadra was talking about in our recent Sangha retreat so elegantly, and also the samskaras, in order for it to find the light and strength to grow and blossom. So I'm wanting to quote, this teaching hasn't been furthered very much within Sri Ratna. Sangharachita did teach it in the early days, but it's kind of got lost. But I was looking in this big book, The Survey, which he wrote already in his 20s. And I just want to quote him. It's page 319, if you want to look it up afterwards. So according to the distinctly Mahayana teaching, all beings are in possession of the element of Buddhahood. This element is nothing but the reflection of the absolute in the mirror of the so-called individual consciousness. Only because they are in possession of this reflected image do beings feel an affinity for enlightenment. As the sutra says, if the element of the Buddha did not exist in everyone, there could be no disgust with suffering, nor could there be a wish for nirvana, nor striving for it, nor a resolve to win it. So I think that's very clear, really, his own position early on. And also there's a sutra called the Tathagarbha Sutra, big word. Tathata means, it comes from Tathagata, which is the Buddha himself, and Garbha is a seed. So it's literally the Buddha Seed Sutra. And there's lots of lovely images for this Buddha nature in this sutra. So I'm just going to read a bit of that. It is like a traveler to another country carrying a gold statue, who wraps it in dirty, worn-out rags and discards it in an unused field. One with supernatural vision sees it and tells other people about it. They remove the dirty rags and reveal the statue, and all rejoice greatly. My supernatural vision is like this. I see that beings of all sorts are entangled in kleshas and negative actions and are plagued with all the sufferings of samsara. Yet I also see that within the dust of ignorance of all beings, the Tathagata nature sits motionless, great and indestructible. After I have seen this, I explain to bodhisattvas that kleshas and evil actions cover the most victorious body. You should endeavor to sever them and manifest the Tathagata wisdom. It is the refuge of all, gods, men, nagas, and spirits. So in my own experience, the seed is most easily discovered in the heart center, and that's what we're going to be exploring this morning. Most of us tend to carry a big protective shield in front of our hearts because of past wounding. And there's no doubt that healing is needed here. But we can begin to explore this deep resonance within us by gently and sensitively listening to this heart space. And we're going to spend probably about 5 minutes in silence in a little while, just looking at a very beautiful image of Avalokiteshvara and taking what's known as darshin. This is an Indian term for taking, just looking silently at a Buddha or any deity image, which ideally should be on the shrine, but we'll have it on the screen this morning. And just taking blessings from this figure, but also try to feel it within your heart as well. It may be the image goes straight to your heart anyhow, but just try and open your heart to these blessings. So Michael, if you'd like to put the image up for us, and we'll go into silence for a few minutes. We're going to leave that image now. And I think having created that heart space, I think I feel sense that we need to go straight into the meditation rather than doing any body work. So just take up your postures. And once you are settled, just feel any resonance still within you from that image and the gesture. And really connecting to any resonance, any after image that may be still warm and living there. And we're going to ground the whole body, the whole soma, by connecting to the earth below us. Feeling the solidity of the earth, it's always there, whatever. through the tactile sense of touch. The pressure of the feet or the legs on the ground, as if you're melting into it and there's no boundary anymore. You're just one with it. It really is holding you there. You can have faith and trust in that. And we can feel the vastness of this earth space by feeling in all directions this flat, for us, flat space raying out in all directions. So there's a spaciousness within that tactile sense as well. Okay, so having established that, let's feel our way into the bottom on the cushion and feel that we're sitting in alignment, right and left equally on those sitting bones. Not leaning to right or left, but really sitting fairly and squarely on the cushion or the chair. Not perching, but really sinking down again, feeling the sensation of the pressure and as if there's no boundary again. You feel one with the cushion or the chair. Almost as if you're being sat, if that makes sense. And see if you can find a center down there in the lower tummy area. Just come into the lower tummy area and see where your center might be there for you. So we start to, within this alignment, find a strong center. And for those of you who worked with the hara already, the lower dantian, see if you can find that space more towards the back, front of the spine. And really connect to it as a resource. And from that place, let's see if we can feel a column of light going right up through the spine or slightly in front of it, whatever works for you. This column of light reaching with ease up into uprightness without losing the grounded feeling. And it goes right up through the lower back, the upper back, into the neck, and right up to the top of the head. And this light is so strong and so joyful that it's imperishable, almost. And everything else can relax around it. and really relax the shoulders. Let them go. If you're holding on there, they don't need to hold on. They can just let go. Just slightly back and down the back is a good idea. And let's go back down into the feet now. And if there's any sense of them holding on, just completely letting go in the feet, bringing kindly spacious awareness into the feet. If they're in an awkward position, then adjust them so that they can really let go. And into the ankles again. The same space, bring space into the ankles. And up into the lower leg. No need to hang on here. Nothing to do, nowhere to go. Just rest. Into the knees. And up into the thighs. Really letting go in the thighs. They think they have a lot to do, those thighs, but actually all they need to do at the moment is just have enough tone to hold you in place. And into the buttocks and the hips and the lower tummy area, feeling spacious awareness there. And feeling that we've got that column of light still alive and the solar plexus relaxing around it, whole diaphragm. And then up into the chest, to the whole upper chest and shoulders. Really breathe here, breathe into the chest and feel expanded here. Here again, in all directions, the space. Forward. Expanding out forwards, expanding backwards, and to right and left. Feel space around, holding you in position. And also the arms and the hands. Nothing to do here either. Just rest. So feeling the whole of the body below the neck now, feeling grounded, but full of light into the uprightness. And maybe you can feel the aliveness of it through that relaxation, tinglings, or just a sense of warmth. And now just check the position of the head on the neck. Is it too far back? Is it tilted too far forward? Just feel the whole head as an extension of the spine. Tilted very slightly forward is usually the best. It's So you can feel this line from right down from the hara right up through the back of the neck and into the top of the head as one thing. And then coming into the whole face, relaxing the forehead, the eyebrows, the eyes, cheekbones, and the lower jaw. Very good to have the lips slightly apart so that you're not hanging on with your jaw. And just let the tongue float in the mouth. So we feel now our whole self kind of integrated here, with no parts hanging out. And let's just rest for a moment, enjoy that sense of wholeness. Now let's home in on the heart center, the center of the chest. And breathe into that chest area, that special space which we discovered earlier through the gesture. And maybe for some people, it's maybe feeling numb as if there's nothing there. So just notice that, okay, there's numbness. That's what's happening now, okay. And just breathe gently into that. Bring some kindness to that space, some metta. Acknowledging maybe that there has been wounding or difficulties. We've all been through stuff in our lives. We're all in the same boat there. But trusting and having faith that there's something beyond that as well. And let's see if we can connect to some Buddha qualities in this space, like the one of kindness. Can kindness live in this space? Is it already there without me doing anything about it, waiting to be discovered? And if you can't find that, remembering some kindness you've experienced from somebody might warm your heart. Or how you felt when you extended kindness. There may be tenderness, so bringing sensitivity like that inner hug we had last time from Diyajyoti. Maybe you need to hug your heart. A sense of goodness, I find that always opens my heart. Just that quality of goodness that we can find in so many people during this time and in ourselves. And we can connect our heart with that sense of wisdom, the Bodhi heart, the citta, and have faith in the wisdom of the Buddha, which warms our hearts as well. So that wisdom aspect of faith can open us as well and open that sense of faith and trust. Bringing in the reason aspect. And there's also that possibility of placing the Buddha within our heart, the Buddha, the figure of the Buddha, or what he represents, right in the center of our chest, in that heart space. And you might also like to take the gesture again, just warming this space even more and feeling the jewel of the wish for enlightenment within that gesture. So you're actually holding this Chintanami, as we call it, the wish fulfilling jewel to your heart, placing your heart upon this wish for enlightenment and awakening. And just gently letting it go again and feeling the after image there. And connecting to your deepest longing. What's drawn you to the Dharma? What's your deepest heart wish for yourself and others? And maybe popping in that question, am I really listening? Am I listening to this deepest longing? Am I listening to my heart? Don't forget to breathe. Breathe into that space. Keep it open and warm. And do I have faith in my journey, my eventual journey to awakening? Maybe not this lifetime, but eventually. Is there a possibility for that? And our wish is not only for ourselves, of course, and like Avalokiteshvara, it's for all sentient beings. That's a tall order. So we can start with everybody here. This heart wish that they may find faith in their journey. So it's only from a strong center that we can reach out. So keep that sense of center while you reach out with all your 1,000 arms to others. and not thinking it, but feeling it through this heart center. We all have this seed in us, and we just need to uncover it through working on all the kleshas and finding faith and devotion to the Buddha's message. And doing this for the sake of others gives us extra intention or motive, energy maybe as well, to do this. So just touching into the whole world is breathing like us. We all breathe the same air, but some people are finding difficulty to breathe. So that phrase, I can't breathe, found resonance through millions of people because they know how that feels. So the suffering of those who can't breathe, those in hospital experiencing difficulties breathing with COVID. So we can begin to connect to the Buddha's compassion, his infinite compassion, through Avalokiteshvara and through our own innate seed of Buddha nature. So letting go now and just sitting with all of that, just resting in wherever you're at now without any effort. Just digesting it all. And I'm going to ring the bell in a moment and just be sensitive to how you come out of the sit and see as you open your eyes whether, see if you've still got something of that heart center in what you experience as you open your eyes just for a little while. So we'll have a little break now for 5 minutes. So stretch your legs, use the toilet if you need to, quick drink, which you can bring back with you. And let's be ready